30 seconds.
Ignition sequence start.
Okay, we got a roll program.
It's not rocket surgery. The latest in science, technology, and geek culture.
Astronauts report it feels good.
Sunday nights from 10:30. Broadcast and streaming live. Podcast at all the usual podcast places. Follow and like us on Facebook and on Twitter at RCKTSRGRY.
Houston, we've had a problem.
Computers now have primary control of critical vehicle functions.
The Eagle has landed.
Hello, I am Saf Chagrin. You may have heard of me. Motivational speaker. Podcast savant. Industry mogul. The man the most interesting man in the world finds interesting. But, for the month of November, I want you to know the real me. What makes Saf Chagrin really tick? The Podfix Network, for which I am not only the president, but also a client. I am the type of network head not afraid to get his hands a bit dirty either, which is why I am actively participating in this year's NAPOD POMO. Each day of November, so today for instance, the Podfix Network will be bringing you a new episode from all the different members. The network did so last year as well, but, since I am no longer just a puppeteer pulling Keith, Chris, or Chad's strings, I felt it was only right for me to participate as well. And you can too. Podfix Network's NAPOD POMO 2021 theme is the phrase of the day. Each day, we will bring you a brand new phrase or idiom and tell you a bit about it. Its origin, meaning, etc. You know, real cursory research type stuff. Chris Green of This Week Today will be great at it. Throughout the month, we encourage you to then use any of the phrases we mention in your everyday life. Email us the details at podfixnetwork@gmail.com. On Twitter at Podfix or in our NAPOD POMO thread in the Podfix Nation on Facebook. At the end of the month, we will select a handful of winners to receive some Podfix prize packs. Let's find out what today's secret phrase is. And then remember to tune in tomorrow for another day of the Podfix Network's NAPOD POMO 2021. Chagrin. Out.
Hello, friends. This is the Podcast Discovery Show, and we are going to talk about Elvis on our post of the National Podcast Post Month, or NAPOD POMO, as no one calls it. And yeah, so I'm Kirk.
I'm Zach.
And I'm Matt.
And I guess the theme for Podfix this year is each podcast is given a phrase that they're supposed to have a conversation about. I think that's basically all they said. There's not a whole lot of rules here. The phrase we got is Elvis has left the building. And I've heard this phrase a lot, but I didn't understand the exact origin of it. So I actually looked this up as kind of the starter for this. So Elvis was so popular when he was performing that this was used by promoters to tell people, stop trying to get encores. Elvis is gone now. Like, he's literally not here anymore. Stop. He's gone. Go home. That was the beginning of this, is they were, he apparently was popular enough that everybody was just kind of going for it, trying to get them to do encores, and he was gone. So like, Elvis has left the building. And since then, it has become a phrase used by sports broadcasters and all kinds of people. So
it makes sense. Where we're starting. And it's used fairly well in context. You know, most of the time when people use it, it's kind of in that context. That's pretty good.
It's also a Frank Zappa song, if that helps you at all.
Nope.
Doesn't. I wonder if that's the true origin.
I doubt it.
I'm kidding. No, that doesn't make sense.
It was released in 88.
Exactly. You know what? I don't know if I've ever really heard this phrase used, because just coming upon it like that, that makes a lot of sense. And I don't think I would have thought, oh, that doesn't make a lot of sense, if I had heard that before in the proper context.
Well, I found some Elvis facts, and both of the ones that I found kind of center more around his manager and less about Elvis, but it was fascinating stuff. I don't know very much about Elvis, to be honest. I know some of his music, and that's about it.
Yeah,
people
that was kind of the same boat.
Him. But his manager's name was Colonel Tom Parker, and he was born Andreas Cornelius van Kujik in the Netherlands in 1909. His future manager immigrated illegally to America as a young man where he reinvented himself as Tom Parker. Much easier to say, by the way, and claimed to be from West Virginia.
Wow. You really leaned into this.
When he first got here, he was a pitchman for carnivals. So he was a carnival barker. Then he was a dog catcher. Then he was a pet cemetery founder, along with other occupations. What?
That's not a good good.
His career path was very weird.
Yeah.
Then he started managing careers of several country music singers. Eventually, he ended up getting an honorary title of colonel, just like Colonel Sanders, by the way, from the governor of Louisiana, and henceforth insisted on being referred to as colonel from then on. So it was just one of those honorary ones, which is always funny. Under the colonel's guidance, Elvis shot to stardom. His first single for RCA, Heartbreak Hotel, released in 1956, became the first of his career to sell more than a million copies. His debut album, Elvis Presley, topped Billboard's pop album charts, and he made his big screen debut in 1956 with Love Me Tender. So the manager really was, the colonel was really kind of, had a lot of special herbs and spices that that made Elvis what he was.
Wait, which colonel are we talking about now?
I'm confused now. No, but another fascinating thing that did, again, lead back to the colonel was that Elvis never performed outside of North America, which I thought that was fascinating.
Hmm.
But a number of the sources that give the reason why is because Colonel Parker turned down lucrative offers for the singer to perform abroad because Parker was an illegal immigrant and he feared that if he went with Elvis on these tours that he would not be allowed back into the U.S.
Yeah. The one thing that I do remember, or I think I remember, it was about his manager. He is the one who invented the I Hate Elvis pins. There's like he sold buttons that say I Hate Elvis. Yeah. So not only is he making money off the people who love Elvis, but also the people who hate Elvis enough that they want something to show that.
People had pins that said, I hate Elvis?
Yeah, apparently.
Okay.
People were much more bored back then. There wasn't the internet yet.
That's just internet trolling in real life.
Yeah,
that's pretty much. That's what you did back in the day for a shit post. You just put a
button on. Pretty much. That's all it was.
A lot of pins.
A lot of pins.
Yeah.
So I found something really interesting, and I guess, spoiler alert, Elvis died. Everyone, I'm sorry. What? I'm sorry.
Well,
to tell
we
you.
Don't know that. We don't know that for sure.
I mean, it's been in the Bahamas or something.
It's been long enough. I didn't realize he was so young. I didn't realize he was 42 when he died. And then also, I didn't realize that since he died, he is one of the highest earning performers at all, and has continued to be since he died. What? It's basically. Let me look.
Since hold on, that's an edit
because I had this, but I guess I accidentally got rid of it.
Well, I know there was that one year where all of those Elvis singles were remastered and like had like kick drum put in and stuff, and they're like, "Come on, come on!" That one it was like real big and stuff.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Okay, so in general, Elvis is always in the top 10 for the past like since he died, always in the top 10 on earnings. So 2020,
that's insane.
He made $23 million. 2019, he made $39 million.
What?
2018, $40 million. The only person who's above him consistently is Michael Jackson.
I was wondering.
Another interesting one is Arnold Palmer, which he cannot be making all this money from drinks. There's no way. I don't know what he's doing
that's
to make
golfer,
this money.
Right?
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. Well, I don't
sure
understand
not golfing.
That one.
I mean,
I
yeah,
don't
he's not
know.
Golfing.
No, he's not.
Does he have a lot of golf things, merchandise that are still being used?
I would guess. I don't
PGA?
Know.
PGA?
Yeah, I honestly don't know because it's just, who knows? But I just thought it was interesting that he's made hundreds of millions of dollars since he died. And then also, have you guys heard about the Elvis sandwich, like his sandwich he was famous for?
Some of peanut butter, right?
It is a peanut honey? Butter and jelly sandwich with bacon on it.
Oh, that's
but
it.
he would like take a private jet to a specific restaurant to get one of these. And I wanted to just let you guys know how to make it because it's not as simple as all that, because this is a I don't know. This is like gluttony personified. So to make this, you take 2 tablespoons of margarine and hollow out an entire loaf of French bread. So you take a French bread and cut it in half, hollow the entire thing out, and then you cover it with bacon. You put an entire pound of bacon on it, and you put an entire jar of peanut butter on it, and you put an entire jar of grape jelly on it.
What?
So if you were ever curious how he gained so much weight as he was getting later into his career, that is a 40 million calorie sandwich that he was a big fan of.
I thought it was just like 2 slices of bread. Like
that's the normal way to make it, but this is Elvis French, we're talking about.
Like baguette? Jesus. That's insane. So I had a fun little discovery about Elvis Presley. That's that he never wrote any of his own songs.
What?
Yes. And in this discovery, I found out that over the course of his career, 600 songs are attributed to him.
600 songs, and he didn't write one.
Not one. Not one. He's quoted as saying, "It's all a big hoax, honey. I never wrote a song in my life. I get 1/3 of the credit for recording it." Presley told Dig magazine in 1957, "It makes me look smarter than I am. I've never even had an idea for a song. Just once, maybe. I went to bed one night, had quite a dream, and woke up all shook. I phoned a pal and told him about it. By morning, he had a new song, all shook up." So,
yeah,
nothing. Didn't write any of them.
No, and it's interesting because that was my question, is like, you would think somebody who's this kind of performer in movies, the biggest performer at the time, you're like, okay, I want to write a song. I want to write a song and perform a song that I've written. But no, apparently not. He's fine. He was fine with it.
So weird. I mean, you look at all these, but like Frank Sinatra and people, and they didn't write a lot of their songs, but like,
true,
they wrote some of them.
Yeah, most people would at least try a little bit, like pepper in a couple not great songs that they wrote, and then just go back to the writers. But yeah, he just fully committed to that, and that is wild.
And that's why he's one of the greats.
Yep. Well,
thank you, friends, for listening to the Podcast Discoveries episode of National Podcast Post Month, or NAPOD POMO.
Yeah, make sure to check out the other ones. Podfix has a lot of great shows. Check it out. You've been listening to a podcast of the Podfix Network. Discover more audible gems like this at podfixnetwork.com. Make sure to catch up-to-the-minute network shenanigans by following @Podfix on Twitter, @official_Podfix on Instagram, @Podfix Network on Facebook. And make sure to subscribe to Podfix Presents wherever you choose to find podcasts. The Podfix Network, artist owned and loved.
Every year, NYC Midnight hosts a screenwriting competition. It is unique in that it requires every participant to write an original screenplay that incorporates a randomly selected genre, theme, and character. The more than 1,000 entrants are divided into groups, or heats, of 25. Each heat shares the same genre, theme, and character combination. After a grueling 8 days of writing your 12-page screenplay, there is a grueling 2-month waiting period to see if you are one of the 5 best in your heat. If you advance to the second round, you get to do it all over again, except with a shorter timeline and a smaller page count requirement. This podcast will follow the journey of 5 hopeful screenwriters as they navigate the competition. Keith, Derek, Phil, Joel, and Julian attempt to rise to the challenge, achieve screenwriting glory, and help each other along the way. Midnight Writers, An Adventure in Screenwriting, is a limited run series that will have new episodes every Monday. Episode 1 premieres November 8th. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. Also follow the podcast on Twitter at Midnight Writer Pod. That's at MDNGHTWRITERPOD. There you will get updates, news from the writers, and any other fun things we want to share. at Midnight Writer Pod on Twitter and Midnight Writers, an adventure in screenwriting wherever you listen to podcasts.